you got to prepare yourself for those situations too. And I went sleepless nights for about 8 years after that. And we made it through. And my bank, they were kind of pushing one way and I was pushing another way. And we finally got it all worked out.
You're listening to 5 Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Hello, and welcome back to the 5 Hour Real Estate Week podcast. And today's Winter Wednesday, and I have a very special guest that I'm so proud of, Mr. Bill Taylor. He's from that country. It's just north of the United States. I'm in Kentucky here, Louisville, Kentucky. We got that river, and right across the bridge is that new southernmost province of Canada. It's called Indiana, and that's where Bill lived, and he's a hero, and real estate has just done so much for Bill and his family, and we're going to have a short session with Bill to share his insights, his headaches, what's worked for him, what didn't, and what helped him out. And he's a client of mine, and we tried to figure out before we got on here, how long ago did he meet Mike? And it's been well more than 10 years. Both of us couldn't figure it out. I'm so impressed and proud of Bill Taylor with his real estate achievements, his life achievements, and using the same info that I give you on this podcast, you can do this too. So do you remember the first boot camp that you came to, or when you met Mike, what were a couple of the ahas that caused you to say, hey, I want to listen and learn from Mike?
You know, a lot of it was tenant screening. I didn't have very good methods for tenant screening. And it just made a big difference in my business to be able to select better tenants. The entire process, if you're taking their money and you don't have a system for checking, you're going to get screwed big time for a lot more money than you could ever spend. So what we did was we started to follow Mike's rules on tenant screening. We started doing some credit reports. In Indiana, we have a system too through the state of Indiana, a court program that you can pull up anybody's name and see if there's any kind of record on them court-wise, whether it's drugs or evictions or whatever. So I wasn't screening my people well enough at that time. And there wasn't as many great methods to be able to do it either. But this courts.in.gov, and maybe there's more states that are taking that on, but I want to know if these people have been evicted. That doesn't mean I won't rent to them, but they better have a very good cosigner available if I even would think, consider renting to them. But the program that Mike had kind of gave us some methods, some phone methods, some different apps that he knew were available that I wasn't aware of. And so we've done a lot of that kind of thing, you know, apps on my phone, Google apps that he knows all about. And then I got into the program where he had a website available for us. We joined that, and now we have people calling in and checking through the website. I didn't have a website. I wasn't that sophisticated. But, you know, today you need a website. I mean, you need to have that available where people can fill out an application. And I wanted an application like Mike's application, because that application has some questions on it that I needed to ask. I was using just kind of a general application, and it just didn't give me enough information. That application that Mike has gives you the information you need. I was always kind of reluctant to have more than a one-page lease. So I did my one page, and I even didn't use Mike's app or his rental form a little while. And then I just finally succumbed to it that I was going to go ahead and do his rental form. Well, it saves me so many time. I've got a person that had a trampoline about 2 weeks ago, and we went by, and he's got the trampoline out there, and I sent him a letter. I sent it through my website. I texted him and emailed him. Today, most people get texts, and they read texts. They don't maybe not even read their email all the time. They won't take phone calls. And so Mike has some up-to-date methods that people use. And I wasn't using those, and I couldn't figure out how to get text to people. I wanted to do it, but I didn't have a way to do that. I've got my ways to do that now through some software that gets that message out to these people. And you know what? That guy calls me back. Every time I tell him something, that guy calls me back like within an hour after I text him. I never had that available to me before. And so Mike provided apps and information where to get app. He has his lease that I was reluctant to use because I saw it was 19 pages and I thought, wow, 19 pages. But I know how I use that. I send them, I complete the thing. I send them 18 pages. Doesn't have the signing page on it. And I want them to read over that lease before I even meet, so that they have any questions before I come, they're asking those questions beforehand. Now, that's kind of rare that they ever ask, but you know, the lease is simple enough that renters understand it. It's not that complicated, but it has some awful good clauses in there that have benefited my business. So when I go to court, I'm prepared. Another thing that I didn't used to do was take pictures of the condition of a house when people rented it. So here I am over all these years, I'd fix these houses up, I'd repaint them, I'd put new carpets in, maybe new cabinets, and I wouldn't take pictures. And then I started taking pictures, and now I just say, yeah, this isn't what this looked like when we get to court. But I've also minimized the getting to court, because these people know that that's the evidence they've signed on when we go to court. And so there are just so many things that Mike did that I wasn't doing. And I use those pictures when I advertise the house too. So I get double benefits. I take those pictures, I put them on my advertisement that I have with either the website or with Zillow. And I get that stuff out there. So they see the house, they see the condition. I always want them to go through the house before I have them do an application, because I don't want to waste my time going through applications. We charge them for them. I don't want to charge them for them. I don't feel good about that unless they've already seen the house. They know it's something they're interested in. But Mike's got a good program. I use it, and it's sure changed my business, because we have far less court cases to deal with. You know, and that was a big thing for us, because we were spending a lot of time in court when I was doing it the way Bill did it.
You share with me a couple of things. When you got started, you had a job, in that you had a couple of businesses that made you self-employed.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then you started investing then when you had those businesses, right?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
So if you could go back and think about what life was like for you back then, can you share with us about, like, say, your first 3 years, some of the challenges, or things you conquered?
Before I got into the rentals, I had a friend of mine who also wanted to get into the rentals. I wanted to buy rentals, and he wanted to buy rentals. So we put half of our guts into each. I didn't have enough guts to do it on my own. He didn't have enough guts to do it on his own. So I tell people I had half and he had half the guts, and we jumped in. I had a couple other businesses at the time, but there really wasn't an upside to those businesses. It wasn't a situation that you could develop it to the point where I knew I'd have a healthy income the rest of my life. And so I bought old clunker houses that were in bad shape. We fixed them up. We rented them out. And then he got transferred away from here, and I ended up buying his interest out in the properties. I kept buying more properties, but I could see the upside of the rental properties where I couldn't see the upside of the businesses that I had been in. So I sold those businesses off and put my time into buying real estate. And for a good time, for a good number of years, I didn't have income coming in off of the real estate. My wife had a job at General Motors. And so I continued to buy and work my tail off to get these houses that I'd buy one, I'd fix it up, spend all that money, and then I'd rent it out and start getting income out of it. Then I had nothing to do for a little bit, and I'd think I could buy another house. And so I'd buy the next house and fix it up, and I'd buy the next house and fix it up, and so on and so forth, until we've accumulated 65 houses now that we're within a few months now of having everything completely paid off. I could pay it off now, but we've liquidated some houses that I had in a retirement account. You know, I've never seen the real estate business as good as it is right now, but we've done very well with it. This is my 42nd year now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. 42nd year investing. Okay. That's wow. Congratulations, Bill. That's awesome. Yep.
Well, I think for a person that is, I don't know, I'd say I was pretty aggressive, but not as aggressive as some of these people I see now. They buy as many houses as I've got right now in one lump sum. But they've got some big investors behind them. I went at a time where you didn't have those kind of investors. But it's been a good business. I've learned, when I first started in business, and Mike knows this, we didn't have an internet. We didn't have people that I could talk to like Mike Butler. We had to go buy a book. And I read Mark Haroldson's book years ago, How to Turn $1,000 into $1 million or something like that. Then there was another guy, and I can't remember what that guy's name was, but he had the biggest book at the time. And I read everything I could get my hands on. Every single book that was available, I was buying it. I was reading it. But today, you can go to the internet. There's so many sites now to go, and there's people that you can kind of befriend going to either Mike's webinar, seminar, if Mike does the landlording seminar, but you can rub elbows with other people that have the same situations that you do. And it doesn't matter that Mike Butler's in Louisville, Kentucky, and Bill Taylor's in Anderson, Indiana. Our problems are similar. You know, maybe not exactly the same, but they're similar. And you need that kind of support in the business. You need to know that other people went through exactly the same thing you have and how to fix that problem. But I'll tell you, to go through this all on your own, you're going to flounder around for so many years, and you need somebody that provides you the secrets. I found secrets in plumbers over the years. They taught me some things, how to plumb something out, or an electrician that shows you something. You're going to learn from people that have already been in your shoes. And I screwed up for a lot of years because I didn't know what I didn't know. And now Mike, he made it a lot easier. It's almost like cheating. You know, you're able to cheat because he gave you his information.
Yeah. Has it been all butterflies and rainbows for you?
Well, back in 2008, I started in 1981. And you know, that was an awful time back in 81. And people wondered what I was doing. Why are you doing this? You know, what's the matter with you? And I thought, you know, I'm coming in with no money and I'm buying houses. And 10 years from now, those houses will be paid down a lot or off. And I'll have that income coming in. If I lose everything at that time, I was like 28 years old. So if I lost it all, I start out with nothing. I'll end up with nothing in a few years. But, you know, one of the things that you do in this business, I feel like any business, any owner of a business, they're fighting to survive that business for as long as they can to get it to a point where it provides you far more than what you could ever imagine. And I fought like that for years. And I made it. And I kept making it, and I kept making it. And my wife and I, she asked me, do you think we'll ever make it in this business? And I would say, someday. And she'd ask me a few months later, are we ever going to make it in this business? And I said, someday. And we bought a license plate from the state of Indiana, license plate that said someday on it, that we put on our new Cadillac when we bought a Cadillac.
Wow, did you put that on your helicopter and your boat, too?
No, I don't have. I got a boat, but I don't have any helicopter. But I've been in a helicopter. I like helicopters. But the, it was hard to believe that she thought that she had faith in me, but she wondered, is this ever going to work out for us? And I've told her finally later on in the years, I said, I think we're just about to make it. And she says, how do you know? I says, I only lost $1,000 last month.
I only lost $1,000.
She said, $1,000? How much were you losing? I said, well, I didn't want to tell you very much, but you know, I had times where I came home and I called her up to surprise her that day. And I said, you'll be surprised when you get home. And she said, well, why? What did you do? And I said, well, you'll see. And so she walked into the house and there was no carpet. I'd taken all of our carpet out of our own personal residence to put in the rental property.
And you're still married?
I told her I'd buy her all new carpet, but I didn't want to put new carpet in the rental property when we had this carpet in this house. So we took the carpet out.
The ultimate scavenger investor.
Cool. But, you know, it's been fun. You know, there's been tough times. 2008, I had never seen anything like that in my life. I'd never seen a downturn like that. And so I think for a lot of investors, it's an awful lot of fun to borrow and have that debt up because you could buy any houses you wanted to buy. Until the other side of the sword happens to come swinging, you know? And so you got to prepare yourself for those situations too. And I went sleepless nights for about 8 years after that. And we made it through. And my bank, they were kind of pushing one way and I was pushing another way. And we finally got it all worked out. It's not been without challenges. I never thought I'd have a challenge at that point in my career because I was 50% loan to value at that time. And I knew that is going to be hard to hurt me. And I thought I had it all. I thought I had it whipped by that point. And all
yeah. So if he's got $1 million, if the R $1 million for his houses, that's what they're worth. He only owed $500,000 on them. And you hear me preach anyway, get those 20 nice rental houses paid for and do it safely in 3 to 5 years. So at $100,000 a pop, that's 2 million in houses and you would only owe $1 million on them. And that's a 50% LTV, which is very desirable. And you would think you'd be in pretty good shape, but you still sweated, didn't you?
Oh my God. I had never had such a struggle in my life until that happened. But I'll tell you what, it was probably the best thing that could have ever happened to me because it made me keenly aware that it could happen. Mike and I have been through awful good times, I guess, over our years in the business. Even though there's been some downturns, we had never seen anything like that. And so you have to fight harder. I mean, I outworked the situation. I was up 23 hours a day because I was concerned how everything I'd worked for 30 years was all just looking like it was all going down. And
looked like it was on the line. You know, what's really sad is in today's economy, with what has happened over the last 18 months, all the small business owners that have gone out and maxed out their HELOCs, credit cards, everything, try to save their business, and they still went kaplooey. Real estate is 10 times better.
Well, once you get those 20 houses and they're paid for, or pretty close to paid for, you know, that's pretty hard for somebody to come in, pretty hard for a bank or anybody else to come in and try to stop you at that point. You know, you're still going to have rents coming in. And right now we're at the point where I see the situation that could happen again. Who knows when that's going to happen, but I'm prepared. The pandemic was something that I didn't anticipate anything like that. We'd never been through that in our life. And just like 2008, we had never been through that in our life. But if 2008 had not happened to make me aware that it could happen, the pandemic would have been something just as bad or worse.
Ooh, yes.
But it didn't affect me one little tiny bit. I've got my debt situation enough. I can pay it off four times over now because of liquidation and stuff that I've got behind me now that I've worked hard for. And it'd be
Is life fun?
Well, it's a lot more fun than worrying anymore. I guess I worry about different things. You know, I worry about when are we going to stop? And I've got a son that works with us, which makes it just fantastic. He is better at this business on that end. He keeps up with all the properties. He's far better than I ever was.
He's the maintenance part, right?
Well,
maintenance and repairs.
But he does so much more than that because he thinks of things to do before I do. And so I go over to a house and I think, well, gosh, he's already put a new roof on that, or he's already done this, or he's ahead of me on it. And I don't know what I'd do without him. He's invaluable. And so if you've got kids, I hear a lot of businesses don't have any kids that are interested in the business. You know, my kids got interested because when they were 4 and 5 years old, I was their daycare person.
And guess what? Child labor. Yeah, that's what you did.
You know, I mean, I would take them out. I remember siding a house with them when they were about 4 and 5. All I had them do was hold one end of the siding up while I nailed it, you know. Yeah. But they really thought they were doing something. And then we took them over to lay tile on floors and paint and things like that. And I think it was fun back then. Well, one of them decided to come into the business. The other one took I had a shopping center back in 2008. And things were so tight. And we had so many spaces that opened up all of a sudden. And so I said, why don't you go into a hardware store in a shopping center? And so I worked my tail off trying to get him all set up in a hardware store in that business. He's now got 3 hardware stores. The pandemic happened to be good for him.
Are they Aces?
No, it's called Trust Hardware.
Okay.
And he's on Facebook and he's got 3 stores. He works his living tail off. But, you know, I guess that's something, too, that he learned because I had to work on these houses. I had to do things. And so they worked because I was working. And so I brought them into the business and in how to work. So if nothing else, you're teaching your kids how to work.
Well, here's what I like about what you just shared there, Bill. Okay, I've got 2 daughters. And so when my oldest daughter was in high school, I sent her to real estate school because I wanted her to be the youngest real estate agent in our state. And so she went about 3/4 of the way through. And so then they wanted to buy a house. So I go out and buy them a little 2-bedroom fixer upper, which when the fixer uppers that I would get at that level when I was investing was basically paint and carpet and power wash the outside and stuff. Uh-huh. Simple, no structural damage or anything. And I thought they would be super pumped up. Want to go over there and put some elbow grease into it, get some sweat equity into it. This is my investment, blah, 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 blah. No. You know what they did?
Waiting for you to do it.
When are we going to get a check for our house?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When are we going to make some money? And so bottom line was both of my daughters had no desire to get into real estate.
Yeah.
And that's disappointing to dad a little bit.
Yeah.
But what I learned was as long as they're happy, healthy, safe, secure, that's all that matters. Okay.
It is.
And so I give you kudos for the son that you have doing the taking care of the properties for you, who's in involved in real estate. And the other one said, I want no part of it. And looky there, he turned out and got his own business, the hardware stores and all. That's pretty cool.
It works more than I ever did.
Yeah. So when you were buying houses back then, how long would it take you? I've heard and seen where investors take 1 or 2 hours to walk through a house, especially fixer uppers, before they make a decision on what to make their offer or to create their offer. And how long does it take you to walk through a house and make an offer?
I think I mentioned to you earlier, I was buying a lot of houses at sheriff's sale. So I may have 50 houses to go look at this week. And I would walk into the house. I would take 10 minutes and I'd have a pretty good idea if that was a house that I was interested in based on what the price came in at the day of the sheriff's sale. And so I would have my idea of what I would pay for that as a fixer-upper, because every sheriff's sale is a fixer-upper in one way or another. It's got to be painted, carpeted, or it's got to have a roof, windows, paint, carpet, or something. And so I didn't have that much time to think about it. It wasn't something that, when you have 50 houses, that you maybe whittle down to 10 houses that you might have an interest in. You know,
did you hear that, guys? He said he started out with 50 prospects, and he goes and checks those out, and he narrows it down to maybe 10 he's going to actually make offers on, right?
And you know how much money you've got available. So, you know, that's all based on how much money you've got available, how much time you've got to work on these houses. But I got into the point where we got a line of credit and I was buying a lot of houses. And I was not doing any of the maintenance on the houses except mowing. And I bought the mowing equipment. And I was mowing 30 houses a day, or in one day's time of the week, just one day.
Don't tell me you were driving the lawnmower.
I was driving the lawnmower. I had the kids with me and I had them weed eating. And
oh my gosh.
They had more rocks and bones and stuff thrown at them.
See, they don't allow us to use our kids like that in the United States. So maybe in Canada, you can get away with it.
Oh, my boys remember those times. And I'd tell them, hurry up and weed eat as fast as you can, because I had a big commercial mower and it didn't take me very long to mow. And so I had them do the grunt work and I was out riding that mower around. They would really get upset with me when stuff started throwing out of at the mower.
Did you have helmets for them?
They about needed them, I'll tell you. But but we would ride around and I'd mow as fast as I could. And they'd throw that weed eater back in the back of the truck and we'd be off to the next house. And, you know, but that was what I had to do to keep up with everything, because I didn't have enough cash to pay all these people to do everything. So I did just that. Then I had guys out there fixing houses up that were more qualified than I was to do it. And it worked out. But I spent a lot of life experiences that were, we go look back on those and laugh, don't we, Mike?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So we're almost out of time here, gone over actually. But thanks for being on the show here, Bill. But tell us about your last 12 months, okay, and where you want to be in 3 to 5 years. But in the last 12 months, you got to listen to this, guys. This is incredible. And I'm going to give him kudos, because Bill had systems that allowed him to do this in the last 12 months. And listen to this.
Well, in the last 12 months, we found out about the pandemic. We didn't know what was going to happen. Then they told the renters they didn't have to pay their rent, that they were going to owe it still, but they were going to have to pay it. And my wife and I are thinking, what are they talking about? These people won't pay if they don't pay. They aren't going to have $5,000 10 months from now if they don't have $500 right now. But because I had selected better people for my rentals, I'd fixed my houses up nice, and I selected better people because I'd done Mike's back screening of all these people. And we ended up with more income in 2020 than we'd ever had any previous year.
Please repeat that.
More income in 2020 than any previous year. And I think this year is going to be like that too, because now not only are those people paying, but the rent income that we're charging has gone up too. You know, the market's changed, the world's changed. And so we're in a different situation right now. But my wife and I, we looked 1 month last year and we just like, how did we get that much money coming in that month? Because we had never had that kind of money coming in. So things worked out. I'll just say that things that seemed like pretty bleak back around April or May last year, when they shut the country down and they told the tenants they'd have to pay rent, it changed. And I think people stayed in their houses. people that were staying were paying because they were still working. They didn't want to lose their house in a pandemic. And so, and we worked with them with some of the rental assistance programs to get them assistance. So it just, everything that I did not anticipate or I couldn't anticipate ended up better than I thought it would end up.
Yeah, that's great. So this is all about learning and you sharing your achievements and your successes. And I'm just tickled pink at everything that you've done. And to think that everybody going through last year, and it's still going on today, the eviction moratorium is still in place, and you can't evict for non-payment of rent. And your rental income was the biggest year you've ever had.
Yeah.
And I'm going to attribute that for you mentioning what you did is you learned how you did your homework on the front end on screening applicants properly.
Yeah.
And getting a better grade of resident there. And that's great. So if you would, I'm catching you off guard with this question here. But for our folks that are listening, our investors are listening here, can you give them one or two tips about getting started on things you recommend to do and maybe a couple of things not to do?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I went to Mike's seminar 10 years ago, I never anticipated a pandemic. So you don't have to run your business as well is when you have a pandemic. And since we hadn't had one in 100 years, there was no way we could anticipate that. So what I would say is run your business as properly as you can from today on. If you haven't been to this seminar yet, do the best job you can and then grab up as much ideas out of Mike as you possibly can, because you never know when the next terrible situation is going to happen. And you're going to need that income to make sure that you're covered. Now, you know, since I've done it for so long and we're at the latter of our career in this business, we're at the point we could pretty much do anything we want to do. And so 42 years of being in a rental property business, I've gone up when I was so excited that it was making so much, I was buying so many houses, to down when it was crazier, the worst situation. I think that 2008 was the worst situation I've ever been through in the whole time I'd been in business. But now to know if 2008 came again, I'm more prepared for it. I don't think at the time, I'm not sure that I'd been to the landlord seminar, but I sure needed that landlord seminar. If I hadn't been there in 2008, I needed that in the worst way, because at least, you know, at the time, I had a couple shopping centers that were probably a really bad thing to have in 2008. And I was able to continue to pay every one of my bills. I never missed a payment. I never missed taxes. I never missed maintenance. I had payroll. I never missed it back in 2008, but the bank didn't look at it quite that way. And they came knocking on the door and said, we want you to pay all of that off at a time when nobody was loaning money to pay off real estate. And I was able to continue to make those payments because I had rental houses that had sufficient cash flow to continue to make the payments, even on the shopping centers that are what I was short. But the shopping center loans were far different than rental property loans. It was a commercial loan, and you're in default if you don't meet these certain conditions, even though you made all the payments. So my rental properties, because I had that business and was getting a pretty good generation of income from that, was able to support my rental properties and my shopping centers. Now I've since sold the shopping centers. I don't need commercial real estate. You know, the little house deals, I'm more of a little, if a house comes open, I can get it rented.
Yeah.
Shopping center space comes open. I didn't have the experience that I needed to be able to do that business. And I thought I did. I thought I could do it. I filled up the center. One of them is a brand new center. We finished off building it up and I filled it up with every tenant. But then those people have different standards too. And the rental houses, I know that business. And I know it better now because of what I picked up from Mike's seminar, you know, because I stole every idea I could steal from him. And, you know,
you did earlier today too. You got a refresher course on never disqualify an applicant. But yeah. Are there any big, let's say that something you would deem fatal mistakes that you want investors listening to avoid? Not that you fell victim to it, but
early on in business, in the rental property business, you need the money so bad that somebody comes to you and they've got $500 or $800 for rent and they're going to pay you right now. They've got the money and you're salivating so much because you need that money right now because you have $800 worth of obligations somewhere. The biggest mistake you can make is taking that $800, because the reason they have $800 is they stole it off the last guy they rented to and rented from. And so they've taken $800 from that guy and they've got $800 for you that you need so bad. Don't let people in that way. Pick your people, select those. You know, there's free ways to advertise. Well, not free. They were free, but there's ways to advertise your rentals now, like Craigslist. I still put some things on Craigslist. It's not as popular as other places, but don't let anybody move into your house. Pick your people. You'll be way ahead money-wise, way ahead.
Yeah. And did you ever think real estate give you that lifestyle you got today?
I didn't know what it was going to give me. I thought if I could ever get 100 houses, I think is what I was thinking at one point. And I ended up getting 142 houses. And I never anticipated I'd have that many. But once I got into buying, I couldn't stop. You couldn't stop.
Especially $175 a house.
Yeah. So I just couldn't stop. And I was having so much fun buying. And then when the lines of credit got cut off in 2008, you know, now you've got a plan. You've got to have every little bit of your business perfectly organized to full efficiency, or you're going to be out of business. And it only took me 23 hours a day to accomplish that. I was able to get an hour's sleep. I didn't know what hour of the day I was going to sleep, but I had to do what I had to do.
So you didn't even work a full day.
Well, my son has the hardware stores and he has three. They're open 24 hours a day.
Are you serious?
And he was the main employee till about 2 years ago.
The hardware store 24 hours?
24 hours a day. And so I've never worked the kind of work he's done. And he does physical labor. He was a one-man operation. And I did go down and help him sometimes, but he was the main person down there. And now he's opened up three stores, and he's more on a regular schedule now. Finally, after about a month ago, he got on more of a 60-hour-a-week schedule. But, you know, I think that work ethic stuff is stuff that they learn early on when they're young. You have to teach them that life is about getting something accomplished. And they saw it in real time. I'll never forget one house I went to buy. This guy wanted $4,500. It was a junker, big junker. And I walked through the house with him. And I took the boys with me because I wanted to see what was involved. And we walked through the little bit. And the guy said, if I could just get $4,000 out of this house. And I just looked at the boys and I thought, let's keep looking. And so we kept looking, and we got upstairs, and I said, is that skids that you've used on the front of those cabinets and built that wall and stuff? He said, yeah. He says, if I could just get $3,500 out of this house. And I said, okay, well, let's keep looking here. And we kept looking, and I think I got him down to $2,500. I just said to him, what's your rock bottom lowest price you'll take for this house? And he says, $2,500, the least I could possibly take. I says, okay, I'll give you $2,500 for this house. I had $10 in my wallet and a piece of paper. And I wrote down that I was going to give him $2,500 for this house. And here's $10 of earnest money to buy this house. And I went out to the truck and I said to the boys, I said, I want you to remember what happened today. You know, what did you think happened there today? And my oldest son, he says, boy, Dad, you really got that guy, didn't you? I said, no, Adam, you missed it. I says, I didn't get him down. He came down and told me what his bottom price was. I said, I didn't Jew him down or screw him or anything else. I couldn't do that. I said, you were right there. You saw what happened. And he just kind of
said, you solved his problem is what you did.
Solved his problem and it solved my problem because I didn't need that house for. I was going to have to do a lot of fix up to that house. And so I didn't need that house as bad as he needed to get it sold. And so I told the boys, always remember what happened today. And they still remember that because it was just a part of a deal that they were right watching as we went through the house.
They were involved in it. Yeah.
It's an experience for the kids, I think. And today, now I look at my business more for my kids than I do for myself, because
that's your legacy.
Yeah. I mean, we've got plenty. Mike, you've got plenty. We don't need more. But, you know, if somebody else can benefit, and I've got this son that works with us, he's fantastic. And the other son, I'm proud of him. He's got his three hardware stores. He works his tail off. So I think we at least we got accomplished what we started with. to begin with.
And your wife's super happy too, isn't she?
Yep, she is.
With every so your someday is now day.
Yep, that's exactly right.
All right. Same to you. All right. Well, all right. Thank you so much, Bill.
Okay.
And I think your time is up. She's tugging on your chair there. Thank you so much for sharing your insights, your experience, your achievements, your headaches, your challenges, and absolutely awesome. So you're going to, I'm proud of you, buddy, and keep it up, okay?
Thanks for giving me some ideas.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.